Violet, Klaus and Sunny looked at one another, unsure of what to think. On one hand, they didn't want to live with the Poes any longer. On the other hand, they had never heard of Count Olaf and didn't know what he would be like. "Your parents will," Mr. Poe said, "instructs that you be raised in the most convenient way possible. Here in the city, you'll be used to your surroundings. And this Count Olaf is the only relative who lives within the urban limits." Klaus thought this over for a minute as he swallowed a chewy bit of bean. "But our parents never mention Count Olaf to us. Just how is he related to us, exactly?" Mr. Poe sighed and looked down at Sunny, who was biting a fork and listening closely.
He's either a third cousin four times removed, or a fourth cousin three times removed. He is not your closest relative on the family tree, but he is the closest geographically. That's why..."
"If he lives in the city," Violet said, "why didn't our parents ever invite him over?"
"Possibly because he was very busy," Mr. Poe said. "He's an actor by trade, and often travels around the world with various
theatre companies."
"I thought he was a count," Klaus said.
"He is both a count and an actor," Mr. Poe said. "Now, I don't mean to cut short our dinner, but you children have to pack up your things, and I have to return to the bank to do some more work. Like your new legal guardian, I'm very busy myself."
The three Baudelaire children had many more questions for Mr. Poe, but he had already stood up from the table, and with a slight wave of his hand, departed from the room. They heard him coughing into his handkerchief, and then the front door creaked shut as he left the house.
"Well," Mrs. Poe said, "you three had better start packing. Edgar, Albert, please help me clear the table."
The Baudelaire orphans went to the bedroom and glumly packed their few belongings. Klaus looked distastefully at each ugly shirt Mrs. Poe had bought for him as he folded them and put them into a small suitcase. Violet looked around the cramped, smelly room in which they had been living. And Sunny crawled around solemnly, biting each of Edgar and Albert's shoes, leaving small teeth marks in each one, so she would not be forgotten. From time to time, the Baudelaire children looked at one another, but with their future such a mystery, they could think of nothing to say. At bedtime they tossed and turned all night, scarcely getting any sleep between the loud snoring of Edgar and Albert and their own worried thoughts. Finally, Mr. Poe knocked on the door and stuck his head into the bedroom.
"Rise and shine, Baudelaires," he said. "It's time for you to go to Count Olaf's."
Violet looked around the crowded bedroom, and even though she didn't like it, she felt very nervous about leaving.
"Do we have to go right this minute?" she asked.
Mr. Poe opened his mouth to speak, but had to cough a few times before he began.
"Yes, you do. I'm dropping you off on my way to the bank, so we need to leave as soon as possible. Please get out of bed and get dressed," he said briskly.
The word briskly here means quickly, so as to get the Baudelaire children to leave the house. The Baudelaire children left the house. Mr. Poe's automobile rumbled along the cobblestone streets of the city toward the neighbourhood where Count Olaf lived. They passed horse-drawn carriages and motorcycles along Doldrum Drive. They passed the fickle fountain, an elaborately carved monument that occasionally spat out water in which young children played. They passed an enormous pile of dirt where the royal gardens once stood. Before too long, Mr. Poe drove his car down a narrow alley lined with houses made of pale brick, and stopped halfway down the block.